And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and coming up in April is Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Service that will take place at 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 19th here in Shreveport. Each year, the presenters of this service have a competition for middle and high school students to participate in and learn about this tragic moment in our history. The deadline for entry into this competition is coming up on Sunday, March 1st. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studio is Rabbi Jana DiBenedetti, and she is going to share the details with us about both of these competitions. Now, Rabbi, thanks for joining me.
I'm very, very honored to be here. Thank you for helping us spread the word about this competition.
You bet. Now, you've got a competition both for middle school and high school, so let's talk about the middle school first. This is an essay contest, is it not?
It is, we try to keep it kind of simple for the middle school classes. It's a very difficult subject to have to deal with, and I appreciate that there are schools around that start in the middle school to talk about Holocaust thing, or as you said, Shoah. And we wanted for the middle school students to focus on what I'm going to call the heroes. When I was growing up and I was studying about the Holocaust, I always felt like I was in the victims. You know, you personalize things, and I always felt right. Like the victims. And I would see all the horrible stories about the kinds of horrible things that happen. And I felt that in our community here, what I'd love to see is have these students grow up feeling like they could be the heroes, that they would be, if something terrible would happen in the world, that they would be the ones who would step up and do the brave thing. And that's what it took. It took normal people, regular people, to just step up and do a brave thing.
So, and there were many throughout Europe during this time that did not succumb to the mass delusion that the Nazis had put on the world, and made those decisions to risk their own life and you know, wealth of their family and everything else to help ferret people out of the country before all of this really fell and the destruction was devastating.
And that's what I'd like the students in the middle school ages to be able to focus on, the fact that it did happen, and find people that they can use as role models in some sense. And there are many out there. So I'm hoping that, you know, we are surprised how many people we've had this same competition for the middle school students for a few years now, and the variety of people they have found and the stories that are out there. And I think that, surprisingly to me, the longer ago the Shoah occurred, the more stories of the heroism was coming out, that many people were heroic and didn't even tell their families what they had done. And I think that there was a fear, obviously, before, and that nobody feels like they are the hero, I think, sometimes. So.
Well, because it was such a devastating thing, you feel like you're kind of chipping away at a mountain of devastation. But, you know, each life saved is, you know,
we save the entire
precious.
World.
Right,
if
exactly.
If you save a life, it's as if you've saved the entire world.
Exactly.
And that's what's happened. And so we, for the middle school, we like them to focus on that. And each of these competitions has awards. So if a middle school student submits something, and if they win first prize, they get $200 gift card. If they win second place, then they get a $100 gift card. And if they win third place, it's a $50 gift card. So it's not insignificant. It's something to strive for. We also give $25 to each teacher who has students submit something worthwhile. And this year we're adding a new aspect where every school that has students submit things through their teachers will get $200 for the school to use as gift cards, to use however they want. Because we do want to find ways of encouraging people to think about this and to study about it, because we believe that if we can focus on learning about Shoah and the devastation of that, people will be on the lookout for ways that they can save the world now.
They could add the book Surviving Auschwitz to their library if they want, which
That's
is
right.
A devastatingly wonderful book to read if you want to understand what it was like within that world.
Unfortunately, too many stories that are horrible to have to look at, but it's important to look at it.
We never want this
to happen again to any people. It's not just something important to notice about this specific service is that the Jewish community is involved in it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to make donations, for example, to help fund these awards and things, it gets funneled, we'll call it, through the Jewish Federation of North Louisiana. But it is not our service, and we do not hold the service. It's always held at public places or churches around, and we, the community comes together. And we've been doing this for 37 years now in the greater community as a whole.
Well, tell us about, you have a prompting question, sort of a little dialogue for each of these competitions. Let's do the middle school first. Tell us what the prompt is.
So we're supposed to study, they should study Elie Wiesel, who said, "And that is why I swore never to be silent when and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented." And another Holocaust survivor, Miles Lehrman, said, "A perpetrator is not the most dangerous enemy. The most dangerous part is the bystander, because neutrality always helps the killer." So the students are encouraged to read those, and then they have to try to find someone who rescued and stood up against that, to not be just a bystander.
And what is the parameters of the essay? I mean, there's so many words and things like that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So for the middle school students, we're only asking for 300 to 350 words in length. It's regular 12-point type, et cetera, so that it's not, we're not asking for a lot from the students of that age. We do request specific things, details about the people's lives, et cetera. It's important to know that the students aren't supposed to put, when they submit, there's a cover page where they have their name so we know how to get in touch with them, but they're not supposed to put any of their personal information on the essay itself. And then we have judges who will look at them, and independent judges, and the process has worked very well in the past.
Okay.
All of the details, by the way, this is important to know. Mm-hmm. There is a website that's been up for a few years now. The website is HolocaustRemembranceService.org. It's one word, HolocaustRemembranceService.org. And all of the details about the event itself, as you said, for example, this year it's on April 19th, and it will be at Broadmoor United Methodist Church this year. Who the guest speaker is, we have Tim Lorsch, who's doing an amazing project that he got a suitcase from survivors, didn't even want to were family members of his, didn't want to open it, and found it, and wound up being inspired to do musical. He's a musician, so he portrayed how he was feeling about finding out about the family that he lost. He did it musically, so that's all on, the details are all on that website, and the prompts and the cover letters and everything that you need are on that website, and a place to ask us questions, too, if you need to.
Well, let's go on to the high school. You've expanded that this year. So in the past, it started out as prose essay,
right,
and then
essay,
you added
right.
poetry, and now you're adding art and music. So you've got a broad range of expressive avenues for high school students to express. Let's talk about the prompt for the high school students.
So the prompt for the high school is a little bit more in-depth and more mature, obviously. So this year, we're noting that in January, we acknowledged that it was the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the German Nazi concentration camps and the extermination camp that was Auschwitz, which is one of the worst. So they're supposed to choose one of the following to address. How did the camp survivors move from liberation to recovery? What challenges did the survivors face during the recovery? Who was involved in helping the survivors after liberation? And how did survivors deal with losing their family? And so we are, again, focusing more on the survival process than the death and the horrible things that we don't specifically want kids to be focusing on. We want them to think about surviving and helping.
And the positive things. How do you overcome? I mean, if you can overcome from something as horrible as that, then there's hope to overcome from just about any tragedy in your life. And that's sort of the underlying theme of the dignity that people came out with, even though they had completely been devastated. They walked out, they regained their dignity, and they regained their spirit and their soul.
Well, surviving any kind of a traumatic thing is a difficult thing, and part of this is that people go through traumas, and obviously I can't equate what happened with the Shoah with almost any other thing that a human can even imagine. But when the students get to focus on what it takes to be a survivor, Rose Van Thine, of whose memory is a blessing, she would talk about how people called her a hero because she was a survivor, but she said, you know, she didn't do anything except wake up every day and was still breathing. And I think it surprises survivors about the fact that people consider them heroes. Mm-hmm. But it helps when you personalize again, and as I pointed out, sometimes you personalize the story, that I'd rather have them in the position of personalizing about what it takes to be a survivor and what were the strategies and that once they survived it, what did they have to do?
When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and come out the other side. Yeah. Then
what is that like, and how do you, right. What do you do with the experience? And that's, we're not focusing on what they do with that, with how they then focus on, you know, having those memories, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I'd like them to think about the, and it's not just me, I keep saying I, but the committee was feeling that they'd rather think about the survival. So, and you're right, the high school students in the in Shreveport, in the greater Shreveport area, Shreveport-Bossier and the surrounding area, the North Louisiana area, we were nervous about adding a poetry component, and they are incredible, how creative our students are. And that means from all high schools, all of the high schools, whether public and private, for all of the greater Shreveport-Bossier area are included in this. And they're incredibly creative. And they've been asking, because they may have other kinds of talents and other ways of expressing themselves, they've been asking for other ways. So this year we've added an art component, and all of the guidelines about what it takes to submit art are on the website, and a music component, which I think is incredible, because Tim Lorsch, the guy who's doing our program this year, he is expressing himself about how he felt about being the survivor, essentially, when he lost all of his family. He didn't go through the camps, but he was a survivor and lost his family. Mm-hmm. And how did he deal with that? And he expresses himself through music. So I think that this is going to be a wonderful challenge for our students. And then at the service on April 19th, the art and the music and the prose and the poetry will all be presented, and it'll be posted on our website after it's done, and we're looking forward to it. And I can give a hint that we almost included video as well, a movie, and I think that's something that may be coming up in the future years. So because our students are very creative.
Yeah, and there's a lot of technology available to them that was not available when I was a young man.
I don't think I could have made a movie when I was growing up.
But they
can do that. They have a phone. That's a movie studio, and that's a recording studio. And we're not asking for long, complicated pieces for nothing from the art or the music, for example. It doesn't have to be long. There are parameters on the website about it. But I think that our students can step up to this, and I'm looking forward to having them find out about it and submit things. But for the high school, the awards change, by the way. So the teachers still get the same $25, and the schools still get $200. But for the high school students, their award is $400 for the first place, and $200 for the second place, and $100 for the third place. So I think that's also encouragement. And that's in each of the categories. So first, second, and third place for prose, we'll get those. First, second, and third for poetry, et cetera, we'll all get it. So,
and one of the statements that you made on your press release, and this is important to think about, is that, you know, we're entering an era where there are very few survivors left, and it is the survivors that are the direct conduits of the information about what the real situation was like. And there's an old adage, those who fail to remember history are doomed to repeat it. So those purveyors of that memory are passing away, but we don't want to lose what they have given us in terms of understanding and the survival and how to come out of literal hell and try to walk with dignity back into the light of day. And this is a chance for students to understand that it's now our obligation to carry on this memory.
Right.
Yeah, and even if we haven't experienced it ourselves, we are the conveyors of the memory of this so that we're not doomed to repeat it.
Teaching the compassion and empathy to feel what they might have felt and express it in their own words right now, I think, is the most effective way to keep those memories. we can't remember what they remembered, but we can
remember them.
We can remember them, and we can try to express it in our own ways and not forget them. I think that's important.
Yeah. Now, there are a lot of schools who do teach a Holocaust education, and for those schools who perhaps it's not part of their curriculum, but they would like to find a way to bring that into their curriculum, how can they contact you and get help, and what suggestions do you have?
The website, the Holocaust Remembrance Service.org, has a way of connecting to us and getting information from that site so that we're happy to share. There are a number of great sources for Holocaust information, for educational materials. We're very happy to help that. We can even come and help and do presentations. We have no Holocaust survivors left in Shreveport that I'm aware of, but we do have children of Holocaust survivors, and some of them will come and will speak at schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be that your school does not, if you're a student who's listening, or you're a parent of a student who's listening, or you know someone who is a student in middle school or high school, and even if their school does not do this or take the time, they can contact a teacher and have them submit it for them or something so that everybody gets benefits from this, or contact us directly and find an alternate way of submitting it. But we'd like to encourage as many people as possible to try, because as you say, keeping that memory, not forgetting. The motto is never forget.
Right. Never forget. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I just hope that people might come to the service. It's a very powerful service. It's not long. It's not, you know, sometimes these things become gruesome or painful, and it's not that at all. It's a very moving, powerful service. We have 11 candles that represent the 11 million people. We realize that if 6 million Jews were murdered, but there were 5 million other people who were also murdered, and we take time to honor their memory. And so as a community, I'm proud of the fact that the North Louisiana area has been very supportive of remembering and honoring their memory.
Excellent. Rabbi Jana, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
That was Rabbi Jana DiBenedetti from B'nai Zion Congregation, and she joined me in our Noel Foundation studios to discuss this year's Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Service and Literary Competition Guidelines for middle school and high school students. The deadline for entering this competition is Sunday, March 1st, 2020, at 12 noon, and you can find complete details about this and guidelines for every aspect of the competition at Holocaust Remembrance Service.org. That's Holocaust Remembrance Service.org. Look for the competition tab at the top of the page. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.